Hello, patrons, and probably a lot of new patrons as well. Thanks thanks for repping up so you guys could watch this. But, yeah, that was an episode. I didn't expect we were going to die to the dragon. I thought the dragon would be a lot lower HP because of how fucked up it was, and then it did 12d6.
Right. So the dragon, for mechanical purposes, the dragon is a CR... Yeah, the dragon is a CR6 encounter, CR6 monster.
Which is quite high, right?
Which on its own is a hard encounter for 3/5th level characters. So not the hardest thing that you've ever fought, not a deadly encounter, but certainly on the high end of the challenge rating. However, I think, bad luck, a little bit of indecision at the beginning, and then just getting nuked with that fire at the beginning. The dragon tactically had the advantage. Plus, you were still a little softened up from the last fight. So it's tricky.
Yeah, I still had full spells except for level 3, which is really just Spirit Guardians and Res. So, and Call Lightning, which doesn't do anything inside. So it would have been fine had I not gotten just one shot. But
yeah, that was bad luck.
Well, I mean, kind of bad luck. Mm-hmm. We also approached what we thought was a bronze dragon and then...
Yeah, it made itself look like it was a peaceful creature that was just really upset because it was trapped, but it got us. It got us.
Yep.
But at the same time, I am quite happy that the main character of Court of Swords is still alive.
Yes. Our Piani continues to make their way through the universe.
The narrative focus of the game is still
so
there.
I was looking at this. So I have a list in Roll20 of all the various PCs that have made their way through the game.
There's a lot.
Let me for a moment, read off the characters who have died. Gideon, Ramus Krill, Baron Hillstern, Velimir Cetrovich, Wester Caraway, Janice, Volnak, Raziel, Zawaz Wazaz, Azrael, Jubilant Black Gale, Zephira On. So we've seen, 13 dead characters so far?
So
in 35?
Here, was there a point to that, or were you just listing the characters?
I just listed.
That sounds really
lot.
Rude. What was the point?
The
point of that is to show us that, there have been a lot of characters, and Berg came in... Like, do you remember what episode Berg started on? Somewhere in the
15
first
15 or 16?
Yeah, somewhere in the first half. Yeah. So
he came in right after Wesker, because Wesker lasted
Wester,
an episode.
Wester, yeah.
Wester did, sorry. He was during Jeff's arc. And Berg came in the second or third episode of Jeff's arc.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in 35 episodes, we average one character death every 2.5-3 episodes. If we average it out through the whole thing.
A lot of character deaths, so
it is interesting that narratively we attach to the characters that survive, and then they become the sort of focal point of the game for as long as they do. It's just we've worked for a while now.
Yeah. So here's a question I'll throw at you guys.
Yeah.
Do we want to change the show and make it not as fucking crazy hard? Or do we keep that up? For you guys as players, do you enjoy it being this difficult? Where every encounter is hard / deadly for the most part? I mean, that's kind of getting skewed now as we're getting a little bit higher level, as Adam's talked about in the past. But
if anything, the encounters are getting easier now than they were at the beginning. Because I have more freedom to use more interesting encounters, so it doesn't have to just be about the difficulty level.
I think if it gets less hard, we need to increase then more RP and more heavier RP. You know what I mean?
Sure.
In a way.
Which is tough because if we do that, and I don't necessarily disagree, but if we do that, that slows progression. Because combat is the most effective way to get experience in D&D. So if the game becomes easier, it also means we're going to be level 5 for much longer, level 6 for much longer.
I mean, we're already going to be level 5 for much longer because we're both starting out.
I don't mind the fact that it's hard. I think that's actually kind of the cornerstone of the show, is that it is so difficult and it makes every encounter that we have that much more shit, you know, because there's a lot of RP shows where they kind of go through and it is deadly and things can happen, but on this it's like today, at a drop of a hat, we were fine, you know, and then all of a sudden it's just two characters died.
I mean, I do like that for sure. I like the idea that the show is not like deaths aren't premeditated, or
yes,
you don't go into an episode knowing that someone is gonna die this episode, right? I feel like that's true for a lot of other shows, and a lot of that just comes down to the players on other shows are just that much more, I wouldn't say involved, but maybe more closely tied to their characters, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Whereas ours, if we lose someone, it's like, eh, okay.
I mean, that's the thing. If we decided to go, like, take a tonal shift in the way that the game works, I would probably do away with XP for encounters altogether. We would have to go on, like, milestone XP to be, like, just based on quests.
Yeah.
It would mean a lot more running away from fights or ignoring them or trying not to have them at all. Which is tricky with D&D because if you look at your character sheet, it's all fight stuff. It's all like bonuses to hit, magic weapons. Like the characters are built to kill. It would take a different, certainly take a different tone. It is possible to bend D&D slightly in that way. We're playing D&D very aggressively the way that it's written, right? To be like, combat is very important. Combat means progression. Combat is difficult, but the XP rewards are commiserate, right? You get 1600 experience for two encounters today. So it is sort of tricky that there is the balance there.
Yeah, and also comes down to sometimes just there's just bad luck and like add a more crit like two times in a row or like sometimes when you're playing like a home game, like the DM will roll behind a screen and like if the party's like really on the ropes, who might be a little generous and say, oh no, that one misses, even though it was like actually a crit, you know. But since we roll out in the open, we can't really do that.
Well, and that's the thing is that kind of GMing, like hiding your rolls, basically would let me cheat whenever I wanted to, right? I could be like, he hits you for 20 damage. You could be like, really? And I'd be like, yeah, cool. He crits you for another 15. Like I would just get to narratively control fights. I would get to make those decisions on my own, and I don't want that power. I like rolling out in the open. Mm-hmm. It makes me beholden to, in the same way that if you crit an NPC that I'm like, oh, this is going to be a fun fight, and you one shot him, I have to be like, yes, you killed him. Like good work, it's over. It makes it a more harrowing experience for both sides of the table. Mm-hmm. But it does end up in these situations where characters do occasionally just like get killed because of bad luck or because of roles going a certain way.
Yeah, I don't. And personally speaking, you know, just me, like I don't mind doing new characters. Like for me, it's exciting. Mm-hmm. I've played a lot of like different fucking characters. I'm really upset we didn't see much of Wester. Because not even just the, like just the way he died or whatever. It's not that at all. It's just like he would have been. I had like actually kind of plans for him. Like I had, you know, sometimes you have like a really good idea of like how you want to fucking play a character. And that was one of them. But it's also it makes sense that he died early because that's how D&D fucking goes, especially in Court of Swords. This is like the same way that what's it called? Jeff died. His character. Like, he was so like shocked. He was just like. You know, like you could tell, like he didn't vocalize it much, but he was very quiet, just like, oh shit, that happened.
Yeah, I think Court of Swords, like we've obviously had some time to get used to it, but Court of Swords having a character die in that way, in the same way that Zawaz got disintegrated, it's a bit of a slap in the face if you don't expect it, right? It's a bit of a like, cool, thanks for coming. Your character is dead. Make a new one.
Zawaz had it coming. Come on,
Zawaz, I mean, Zawaz was that a was just cocky fucking perfect. Piece of shit. It was
I
great.
I am so glad he died because
let
was,
me show oh you how God. It's done. Yeah.
Fucking, that was pretty good.
That was amazing. And then we got Sniggy.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Well, and that's the thing is that there's really the game is a player at the table too, right? Sometimes the game just says, "Nope, I'm done with this character. They're gonna go away now." Because of random chance. Now, I mean, to that end, like to sort of shed a little light on my process, like I don't ever assume either the outcome or the solution to an encounter, right? There is always other ways around things, like the encounter with that dragon. You know, it didn't necessarily have to be a fight. It didn't have to stay a fight. I always build, especially hard encounters, I build them with the idea in mind that there are other things you can do, other ways to kind of get around them. The game leans into fighting because that's the tools that your characters have, right? Like, you don't have a lot of implements to achieve your means elsewhere, but I always think about ways that like you could, and we'll reward creativity for dealing with encounters in other ways than fighting. So I don't want you or anyone in the audience to think that I'm like, no, to get past this, they have to fight this encounter. That's just how the game's going to go, right? Because that'd be boring for me if I presupposed all that stuff.
Yeah. Also, I just want to... This is really good. Did you see this fan art?
Right?
When the devil giraffes attacked, MJP feared them not, for Dark Souls has taught them well. That's really good. I'm kind of happy with that.
Good.
Sorry. Anyways, that was fan art. Was good for the episode.
I think Merrick. So that's Merrick Bentuzzi. I think that of all the people that do fan art for roleplay, Merrick is the only one I know of that does pre-show fan art. Like probably more pre-show than actual show. There's a lot of really good stuff in their Twitter feed about like from pre-show content. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think I'm okay. I mean, without saying you don't care, do you guys want the difficulty to change, Max or Dan?
I'm going to say no.
No, I think it's fine.
Okay, we'll keep difficulty as it is. We'll probably do character creation videos for me and Dan. Dan, you said, what were you talking about playing?
I was thinking about, like, there's a notion that you don't need a healer in D&D 5th edition. That's bullshit.
I think it's bullshit when you play it hard.
Not true. Yeah. With our difficulties, that's just not happening. So I was going to do a healer again since you Gail is our healer, so I'll be healer now. I was thinking about doing a bard with a dip of cleric.
Okay. When I asked you in chat, it was funny because you said you wanted to play a wizard, and we both had the conversation. It was like, well, we can't go into this healer list, and I can't.
They've done that.
I can't complain because it's the same situation. Like, you've played cleric, I've played cleric. It's not like we can trade off and be locked into a character. I don't know. It's definitely a weird dynamic with three people.
I've looked at the spell list for Bard, and they are really good at controlling fights. And
yes,
they do have some heals, which could help us. Because one thing I've noticed about this game is, an enemy at 1 HP is still as deadly as if it had with full HP. Like, keeping them controlled is so much important than controlled or dead.
Let me look at what a bard's get at level 3. So you wouldn't have level 3 spells till you hit level 6, technically, right?
Yeah, like I take the dip at first level and then have to level up to 6 to get third level spells, or just do straight 5.
I mean,
the only problem is I would only have light armor and I'd be very fragile, so I'd have
really the only spells that you get that are like good at level 3 as a bard is fear.
Yeah, but just having those extra slots is important, because like
as you
felt like in fights, you just run out of spells and you're just
major image is decent. Tiny Hut's a lot of fun because then we could just rest in fucking dungeons without being attacked.
That's true.
Yeah, no more random gnome specters.
Yeah. Yeah, those guys sucked. That fight, if we would not have made as many saves. Actually, I think if we would not have made as many saves, we wouldn't have gone and fought that dragon. Or we wouldn't have even approached that dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Because we would have been much lower HP across the board. Mm-hmm.
I was, as Berg and as a player, I didn't want to go in there. Like,
well, you guys, I started to approach by myself thinking I was going up by myself, and then you guys were right behind me, and I'm like, well,
yeah,
okay.
I as a person wanted to see what was in there, because like we've gone past it like 3 or 4 times, and I just like I want to see what's in that room. But
Berg went in just because
was in there.
Berg went in just because, you know, he's gonna stay with you guys, and like he did stay in the back and kind of like see what the fuck happened. If there's a way to help, he would.
Yeah,
but as a player, I just figured there's something there. Like, there has to be something there. High chance that it could kill us. Also, could be nothing. But if there is something there, it's not worth the risk of, you know what I mean, potentially what happened today.
Yeah.
And as Berg, he's already lost so many people in this cave. he doesn't want to stay. He wants to leave. Like,
and
well, it would have, the ending of the episode would have been really different had you not gotten such a high stealth roll too. Like those guys, if they had detected
you would have died.
They definitely would have been like, hey buddy, how to go down there.
Yeah.
So about that bounty. So they wouldn't have killed you. They would have just like given you an opportunity to come peacefully, and then maybe you would have fought, and then they probably would have killed you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Orberg would have killed them.
Yeah,
I promise that would not have happened.
When when you were given the option to throw the card in the fire, I was like, Berg has zero reason to stay in this current situation that he's in. Yep. He's going to walk into this town and immediately die. So why is he not throwing the card? And then you're like, oh, he threw the card. Okay, great, perfect.
Yeah.
No, I wanted people to think that he wasn't going to do it for a sec, or like wait. Berg was basically, I just wanted it for dramatic, like Berg, as a player, I just did it for dramatic appeal. Yeah,
and part of it is giving Berg that chance to be like, no, actually, yeah, everything is pretty fucked up right now. I'm gonna go do this other thing.
No. Exactly. Once I realized like Berg as a person had nothing, he's just like, yeah, fuck it. He totally would. He's really susceptible to being influenced right now and potentially corrupted if that's what's going down. But yeah, and plus it just as a narrative and storyline wise, it makes a lot of sense, and it's very interesting for Berg to go down that route.
Totally.
Yeah.
I guess in terms of what I want to play, I don't know. I was kind of into the idea of playing a wizard, but then I just had to deal with like spell classes and shit. It'd be fun to just be able to be like, yeah, what do you want to do this round? Oh, I just want to fucking hit the mob. All right, next.
Yeah. Fighters are pretty hot shit.
Yeah.
Honestly, like you can build them a bunch of different ways.
Rogues are kind of fun too, though, especially at level 5. You get a lot of, 3d6 on your sneak attack.
Yeah, having a ranged character is nice.
Yeah, like having a bow rogue would be fun. Yeah,
someone that just constantly deal damage to something at a distance.
Yeah. And uncanny dodge means you take half damage as a reaction, which is like fucking sick.
Yeah, you become hard to kill as a rogue as the more levels you get.
And it's kind of dex based, so your AC should be somewhat high. Although I think the max you can wear is leather armor.
I don't know. Leather or studded leather, I think.
Which is, I don't know. Max's rogue had pretty high AC. I think like 17 or 18 or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, I don't know. What I will probably do is roll my stats this time around, and then depending on what I roll, like if I roll like an 18 or something.
Yeah.
I might just be like, yeah, I'm a wizard. I'm going wizard with 18. Yep. And
with our difficulty, like min-maxing is so important just to have that advantage on fights.
At the same time, though, like if you look at Berg, that's a character that is the most un-min-maxed character in the show, and he's also done super
rage well. Plus the orc racials was really a good idea that's kept you alive so many times.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bard would be fun though.
It doesn't hurt to now dumping damage like a fucking truck when I hit, and also taking some lifesteal. Well, we're not fading things that do necrotic damage.
Yeah. I was looking at I was seeing what druids get at 5. They don't really get much. It's kind of like a nerfed druid from what I played originally, because level 3 is such a huge bump for druids. Level 5 is not. Sorcerer is kind of same thing as wizards. Same as warlock as well. Ranger, we had a shitty ranger
yeah.
in our party in terms of archetype and actual roles. He was not the best.
He tried real hard.
Oh, he tried super hard. Yeah, we've had a paladin before. Rogue, I think it's between like rogue, monk, fighter.
Yeah, you could do like bow fighter if you wanted to be a range person.
Yeah, but then you lose sneak attack. You know, sneak attack's like pretty fucking sick.
Rogues don't get extra attack though, so like
they don't
potentially make it up with your extra attacks.
They don't get sneak attack, or they don't get bonus attack at all at 5. What do they get at 5?
Attack.
They get uncanny dodge at 5. Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah, I don't know. Bow damage is only D8 though, right? That's kind of low.
Longbow's D10, I think.
I don't think so. I think longbow is still 8. Let me take a look. D8. Longbow is 1d8. Ammunition heavy, range two-handed.
That's why like sneak attack would be kind of cool, because then it would be a d8 plus 3d6 on hits if someone's standing next to him. And Berg's going to be standing next to people.
Yep.
Oh.
I'm thinking about...
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Is like a fighter is going to be a lot more like depend like dependent on superiority dice and stuff, but also that gives you flexibility because they're kind of like spells in the sense that they're recurring resources over time. Right? You get back with long rests.
Do you always get superiority dice? I thought that is if you only go that archetype.
I feel like that's like a general fighter thing.
It's the battle.
Maybe battle master.
There's two types.
Yeah, there's champion and battle master.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Champion is
they get like crits on 19 and 20.
Yeah, which is kind of fun. You get a remarkable athlete at 7, which you can add half your proficiency bonus round up to any strength dex or con check that that you make that doesn't already have your proficiency bonus. That's kind of interesting.
And the fighter always gets that pocket heal of last stand.
You mean
or whatever
second wind?
Second win.
Yeah, it'd be D10 plus 5 bonus action heal from short rest as well, which is kind of cool, as well as action surge. Action surge is kind of crazy.
Yeah, you go like at 5, you could attack 5 times, I think, 4 times.
A combination of someone who can cast haste and a fighter with action surge means like hella attacks.
Yeah.
Like just crazy.
But haste is level 7 spell, right?
Haste is a spell. Yeah, haste you get at level 7.
Yeah. So I don't know. I got to think about it to figure out what I want to play. When you get into... I'm more familiar with the spellcasters in 5e when it comes to their little quirks in terms of what works well and what doesn't. I'm not that familiar with fighters and stuff like that. It'll also be fun to be able to talk freely again as character. I've actually kind of been looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I won't have to take the lead all the time.
Yeah. I won't have to just be like, well, what are you guys going to do? Because I can't actually do anything in this particular situation. So, and then do you guys have any more feelings in terms of where you want to play? In terms of like seafaring setting. People, island people? I think we were kind of unanimous in not being into the undead shit.
Yeah.
So all that's going to mean from like a GM perspective is like, and I've sort of been talking about this since the beginning, is that that's a problem that PCs need to solve. Yeah. So the farther ahead we get in the timeline and the less that gets dealt with, eventually the Court of Swords will likely get like mostly overrun by undead, which is kind of cool. I'm kind of into that, a little bit of like undead rich apocalypse stuff going on.
Yeah.
But as far as like places in the world that are interesting to me, I'm good with it. I can make something cool in anywhere.
I'd kind of be down with a high magic area. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, magical place would be cool.
Yeah, Court of Wands.
Or like a magic shop is not something uncommon. Like,
well, the city of Brass is like I said, the biggest city in the world. It's out in the desert. It was built before the courts existed, rumored to have been built by genies. Like it's built on magic and it's its own kind of thing. And it'd be cool to go and explore that. The people in the Court of Wands are much more comfortable with magic and it's much more prevalent in their society than anywhere else in the world. So we could do an arc that's a little more like high magic. See what that's like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be into that. I blanked out on what I was going to say next. And it was an important question to me and I just fucking blanked completely. We were talking about setting, undead stuff. I'm trying to retrace my memory. High magic. Oh, magic items. Boom. Got it. Okay. you talked about in the past where, in terms of like balancing a character creation, that magical items would have to come into play. How are you handling that now that we're actually creating 5e or fifth level characters?
So the Dungeon Master's Guide of 5th Edition Dungeons & Dragons does have a suggested amount of gold and whatever to give characters that start not at first level, but that does not include magic items for some time. So you will, in a standard campaign, you'll start with 500 gold plus 1d10 times 25 gold, and then your normal starting equipment. And that'll remain true until 11th level. At 11th level, you'll get 2 uncommon magic items.
And 5, so we got gold. Some crazy shit then is what you're saying. For finishing the quest.
Well, yeah, you gotta get to 11th level is what I'm saying before. So
I'm saying when we got our magical items for our previous characters, we got some crazy shit.
Yeah. This is just for starting at higher level. I've been handing out magic items, like as per the CR of the encounters.
Okay.
So those items, they're just some cool rolls that you got. But for starting equipment, yeah, you don't start with magic items till level 11.
Okay. All right. So that puts some perspective for me at least.
Yeah, but you will start with lots more money.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, we can buy some stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, cool. We'll, are we good for next week? Was I misremembering stuff? Max, you said you're going to your parents, but everyone else is here next Tuesday?
Yeah, I'm at my parents. I should have internet and I should have the ability to cast, but I can keep you updated on that if that changes. Yeah,
I've got Court of Swords in my schedule already.
Okay, Dan, you're good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Cool. And then we'll figure out what time works best for character creation for everyone else off stream and get that posted and talked about and all that stuff.
Cool, yeah.
But we still haven't decided. I guess we'll talk amongst everyone in the Skype group on where we want to go between the boating and the high magic. I think high magic might be where we want to go. I think me and Dan were both.
I think Court of Wands sounds like a cool place to check out now.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that'll do it for this post show. Thanks everyone once again, especially all the new people. And we will see you next week for the start of season 3 of Court of Swords. We're out. Bye-bye.
Later.